Started. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you do give us direction. Even in the most troubling times, by your will and your spirit, you give your church victory because you want to give your church victory, Lord. You want to save people. You want to rescue the perishing as we sing. You want to bring people out of darkness into light. You do not take pleasure in anyone perishing. And we pray, Lord, that your church, especially now, while we still have the chance to speak publicly, to be able to worship in relative peace and safety, that we speak up now. And we know, Lord, that when the church is silenced, it's not judgment on us, Lord. It's judgment on the wicked and sinful generation that doesn't want to hear your word. It's judgment on them that they can't hear the words of life or their children or grandchildren. And they're left and beholden to the works of the devil and darkness. So we pray, Lord, that today you would help us to focus on your word, your real Holy Spirit would be with us, Lord, and in us to help us to receive this word. And we pray, Lord, that a spirit of courage and not cowardice would come over the church once again, and that we would be faithful in the commands that your Son gave us so plain, so clear in Scripture. And we pray, Lord, for those churches, for those believers that have sold out, for the church that has taken the side of the government, of a wicked generation, to make things easy and convenient for themselves. And we pray, Lord, not for their destruction, but that they would repent and come back to you the way you have warned so many times in Scripture. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have a problem today, and it's not a new problem. It's always been a problem. When pressure comes on any group, any organization, you have a large part of that group that will see it through, that will fulfill the mission, and then you have another part of that group that will sell out, that will take the easy road, that doesn't want to suffer, doesn't want to feel any type of suffering, persecution. And that's what we're in now. We want to coexist, but if you have to sacrifice Jesus Christ again in the way we behave and we act, it's not worth coexisting in that way. We have to give people the truth, even when it's inconvenient. Now, you have one group in the church that their judgment isn't coming. Judgment is already here. And people falling away or continuing to backslide, some of them were faithful at one time. Anyone who does fall away, as we know, were never regenerated. They were never of God, of Christ. And when things become a mess, God separates the people. Everyone likes to quote that verse. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. We like to quote it. We like to read it. But when we see it happening, we don't like it. Because it's a reality check. In the church, just like any organization, your greatest enemy is the one that sits next to you that's a traitor. Organizations and nations, most of the time in history, they fall apart from the inside. It's not from the outside in. And this, from our first president, George Washington, to Abraham Lincoln said it. If America ever goes under, it's not going to be from enemies without. It's going to be from enemies within that'll take us down. Now this goes for the church first. We were taught this by Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do when he came to the earth? He started already to separate the sheep and the goats. He started to get those who were serious about God in the old Hebrew church and separate them from those who weren't. And that's how many Hebrews, when they came to Christ, it started this whole new movement, or they knew, they thought it was a new sect, this Christian sect, these people who act and do things a certain way. See, the Hebrews at that time when Christ came, they were sellouts to Rome. Don't think that there was something holy and Jesus just came and gave them a strange teaching and that's why they rejected him. The Hebrew leadership, the leadership that you had in the Old Testament church at that time, and we read about it in the New Testament, there were already sellouts. When Alexander the Great came and had his conquest of the world and then divided the world amongst his generals, that part of the world in Jerusalem, most of your Jews spoke Greek. We don't even realize that anymore. We think, oh, they were Hebrew-speaking, faithful Hebrew people. No, they weren't. They were speaking Greek. They were in a Greek world. They did Greek things, and that's the world that they lived in. Even the high priest position, Ananias, Caiaphas, these types of characters, you could buy that position. And you had to get permission from the government at that time, which was at one with mostly Greek. Eventually Rome took over. But that's when we read about the Hanukkah story. We read about the Maccabees. That's what it is. They revolted against the disgusting things that were going on at that time during the intertestamental period. But once we get to the New Testament, these are sellouts. Christ was not stepping on innocent people. He just wanted to start trouble. That's the way it looks many times. Like, oh, here's this faithful group of Hebrew people, and here comes Jesus starting trouble. And they didn't accept him, but they were really kind. They were innocent. They were moral people. No, they weren't. They were just like the church today. Why do we get in trouble with our famous religious leaders and pastors? And because they're sellouts. They want to live with the world, and they want to live with Christ. And you can't do both. You can't be friends of the world and friends of God. It doesn't work out that way. And we see this happen in real life. We just had the Pope, who we've been saying is an antichrist, since the year 1500. We've been warning the Catholic people. What did he do? They signed another agreement, the Vatican Rome, with the Chinese communist government, that they'll work with the Chinese communist government to get their churches licensed. And then a Catholic bishop in China, who was faithful and said, no, this is wrong, he suddenly disappeared. They don't know where he is. You think the church cares? Of course not. They want money. They want donations. They want political power. This is always the way it's been. So if we have to coexist by being cowards and surrendering, it's not worth it. You have to stand up for Christ. So we have these fancy names for churches, Church of the Holy Sepulchre and Church of the Holy this. And well, today's modern church, if you wanted to give it a name, it's the Church of the Holy Coward. People want to sit within the four walls, feel good on Sunday, and then not fight for anything. Christ and his principles should be in the preschool, in the elementary school, in the high school, Christian schooling, homeschooling. Christ is everywhere. Christ should be in our ethics. Our mayor should be following Christ's principles. You think the city is doing well without following Christ's principles? The governor should be following the principles of Jesus Christ. Our president, who evangelicals every 4 years, again, sell out to somebody. Someone's the greatest gift since white bread every 4 years when they take the presidency to evangelicals. No criticism. Let's not offend anybody. That's not the way the church functions. It never was. It's a complete lie. Now, what are we told in Proverbs 17, 15? Well, it's very simple. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. So if you want to defend the wicked, You want to be culture-friendly Christian? Oh, it's okay. He really doesn't need to get married. That's his fourth girlfriend this month. But he loves the Lord. He was saved. He came to Jesus at a Christian camp 20 years ago. You want to play games like that? You think God isn't angry? So you want to justify the wicked? I'm not even talking about sodomites and all the other stuff we see now. Just basic cheating and relationships. Now, this doesn't mean people don't get caught in sin. We're never going to be perfect. But could you please not justify it? Especially in the church. Is there any shame anymore? This is what God used to say to Israel. I could pull your skirt above your head. I could pull the whole thing up and show your nakedness. You still wouldn't be ashamed. That's what you've become. So we don't hide it anymore. If someone's committing adultery and you know, Lord, please get me out of this. I know I screwed up. I got to get out of this. I don't want to destroy myself. I don't want to destroy this other person. No, now we have TV shows about it. Big shows, reality shows. Everybody's with someone else every other week. And we celebrate this stuff. So you want to okay wickedness, you'll pay for it. And then if you want to condemn people that are righteous, do you know they make fun of young girls that want to stay virgins until they're married? You know, young boys, it's even worse. A young man who doesn't want to sleep with anyone until he gets married to the culture, he might as well be gay. There's something wrong with them. Why aren't you fooling around? I don't know, I'm not fooling around because I don't want to get AIDS or herpes or other luggage that I'm going to carry with me the rest of my life. I don't want to do that. I want to honor God. And then maybe you did because of the culture. You were sexually active and fine, come to the Lord today. Stop. Stop. Be clean again. God will work with you. We're not here to shame anybody. But what was once shameful is now holy. And what was holy is now shameful. You get married, people make fun of you. What'd you do that for? What are you, crazy? She's going to take everything you have. He's going to take everything you have. Things were so good when we were living together. Now we got married. It ruined everything. This is what people are told. I'm not condemning. I'm not, hey, look, I'm not, we don't, you know, you don't beat up on someone every day that's not married, that should be getting married, but could you at least say it once? Could you say it once? Hey, you know, that's wrong. Somehow, some way, you're going to pay for that later on. Now, every time I don't see them, I don't see somebody every day in that type of relationship and beat them up every day. That's not Christian either. But I let them know how God feels. I let them know the effects it's going to have on their relationship. So we condemn those who want to do the right thing. It's insane. People brag about going to jail now. People brag about once selling drugs, dealing guns. The kid who's going to school, never did a drug, doesn't own a gun. What's wrong with you? What are you acting like that for? Get down with the culture. What culture? You're an idiot. You're a criminal. I'm going to go to school, get an education, make lots of money being your lawyer when I have to defend you because of what you did. So what God says that sounds insignificant applies to the culture. Now, it's one thing when the culture does that. The world is supposed to be crazy. When I talk to, and I talk to everybody, you'll be shocked with who I talk to. And I'm a Christian. My house I keep clean. My church I keep clean. And then I get busy in the dirt of the world. I gotta talk to everybody. And it's funny when Christians look at me and judge me and like, oh, what are you doing talking to this guy or to this woman? Or I'm supposed to. I'm not doing drugs with them. I'm not drinking with them. I'm not going out with them. Right? But I have to talk to them. I have to. How can you expect people to do the right thing if they're never told to do the right thing? What is the government telling them? What is the media, entertainment telling them? It's teaching them how to be slaves in bondage to sin, in debt, sick. How their life becomes, you know, a reality TV show. That's what they want. They want you broke, depressed, sick, so they could suck every bit of life and money out of you. Then they stick you in a home somewhere and make even more money on you until you die. That's their plan. That's not the church's plan. We build people up. So it's one thing for the culture to act that way, but the church, when the church sells out and starts teaching these things, when the church brings the music and the habits and the politics of the world into the church, disgraceful. But why? Because they want to have it both ways. See, I want to be pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, right? I want to make make this place grow, make lots of money, be friends with the world, have the respect of men, but then also be at peace with the government. So the way the government goes, the way the culture goes, that's the way I go. So maybe 10 years ago when I started, I was preaching against abortion. Now you get in lots of trouble for speaking against abortion. You know what? I'll lighten up on that stance. 10 years ago, I used to preach against sodomite relationships. Well, now it might cost me my job. I'll slow down. Now it's the transgender thing. They find something else, something new that you can't speak against. So if you want to know who rules over you, find out what word you can't say. Those are the groups that rule over you. What a shame when the church acts this way. Now, what type of church did Jesus come upon? I will show you from the Word. Turn to John 11 again. Verses 45 through 53. Read lots of scripture. Get the story behind things. Now, why did I pick John chapter 11? Anybody know that famous story of a person, or one of the people that Jesus raised from the dead? It's a really famous story in the Bible. What was the name of that man that he raised from the dead? Lazarus. Everybody knows the story of Lazarus. We all read it. We love it. We should love it. Jesus raised someone from the dead. You know what happens? We don't read the second half of the chapter. We don't get a picture of who was working against Christ. Those who carried his name. Those were his main enemies. Not the Romans. Not the people in the world. Those who were supposed to be of his people. The traitors. The cowards. Let's listen to them speak. Tell me if I'm wrong. Starting at verse 45. This is after the miracle of Lazarus. And this is the Jewish leadership talking about it. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. The federal government, Washington's going to crack down on us if we preach against homos, abortion, and euthanasia. We better shut up. Don't do a political sermon. You want to lose your 501c3 status? I got to erase that sermon I did on Trump. I'm going to be in big trouble with the rest of the church. I called him Richie Rich. Right? So, hey. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Witness the brilliance of God. They're scheming against Christ. They think that by killing Christ, they're going to keep their nation. And he makes this prophecy because God is in control, even of the wicked. So he puts a true word in a wicked man's mouth. But he meant it as, we'll get rid of Christ and then we'll survive as a nation and have all our stuff. We'll be under the Romans, we'll be slaves, but we'll be happy slaves. We'll have cable TV, Netflix, you know, plenty of fast food restaurants. We'll have everything that we like. We like it that way. Don't rock the boat. Right? But what he didn't realize what he was saying from God's point of view, yes, you're going to kill my son, but the nation that is going to redeem, he's going to take those who are faithful out of you and create a new nation before the Romans come and smash you anyway 70 years from now, 40 years from now. So he was prophesying a true word, but he couldn't understand what he was saying. It was given from the Lord. So they thought it would preserve them as a physical nation. And God was saying, yeah, you're right. You're right. But the nation is going to be, the spiritual nation is going to be pulled out from you before the Romans come and smash you. They sold out. They became afraid. They forgot that everything we have is from the hands of God, not from Washington, D.C., not from Rome, Italy. They don't give us our things. God gives us our things. You put faith in the state and you'll always be destroyed. Now, I love these people. Separation of church and state. Separation. Good. Get the darn government out of the schools then. That's the church's job. Every school we had in this country started as an extension of a church. Why are they taking over education? You're right. Oh, we got a separation of church and state. Let's help the immigrants. You're right. That's the church's job. Why did the state take it over? If you're a Christian church and you want to help immigrants, take your money and help the immigrants. Don't take somebody else's money and pretend like you're a Christian. Take tax money and funds from the government and go help immigrants. People say, oh, you're a Christian. You don't want to help the immigrants. Of course I want to help them with our own money. I don't want to beg Washington for funds to keep my ministry alive and then pretend it's because I want to help immigrants. Do you understand? Whole churches survive on taking money from Washington or from local government. The feeding that we do here, it's money that people give. It's money that we give. We don't take money from the city. Because once you take money from Caesar, Caesar calls the shots. So they sold out. God's greatest hatred is reserved for the traitors among his people. The wrath of God falls upon the holy hypocrites who are believers in name only. They want to live the lukewarm life and be at peace with God in the world. God's people are called to condemn that which God declares evil, and uphold that which God declares good. We coexist with a sinful generation by expounding the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't say the world is so wicked, let's retreat into our building. We bring the battle to them, to save them, not to hurt them. We apply the whole gospel to all of life, and extend the crown rights of King Jesus. Amen. Choose this day who you will serve. There is no retreat. There is no surrender. There is no neutral ground. You think you give the state control of your kids. It never stops. How many vaccinations do they need now? They tell you how to raise them now. People aren't stupid. Over 40% of adults don't take the flu shot any longer. Why? Because they see the results. My arm swells up. A couple years I got sick from the flu shot. I'm putting all these toxins in my body. Then I take the flu shot and then they tell me, sorry, charged you $100, but we screwed up. It was the wrong strain. My bad. Are you kidding me? That's what we pay hundreds of millions of dollars for, to experts, to say my bad, when they just made hundreds of millions of dollars on the wrong shot? They control everything. Separation of church and state. Amen. Stop teaching my kids about sex. That's a family, a moral, and a church issue. Teach them math and science, and that's it. Other than that, mind your business. You're right, separation of church and state. But what's happened, the church has gotten swallowed up by the state. And once again, we listen to Caesar. We don't realize when people leave the church, you become a slave to the government. The church, the Christian church, was the first movement to check the government. That's what first century Christianity was about. Their persecution could have ended at any time if they just worshiped Caesar. They could have stayed Christian. Caesar just wanted worship of both. They were too exclusive. That's all they want, just like today. You can be a Christian in your little church, but you have to worship Caesar also. So when you're outside the four walls of your church, you better say transgenderism is healthy. You better say sodomy is healthy. You like your job? You like your pension? You better say lesbianism is holy. And soon, like I already told you, since I first started preaching here, you better start saying pedophilia is holy, because that's okay too. 40-year-old and a 6-year-old, that's fine. 50-year-old and a 9-year-old, that's fine. Muhammad did it. Other religions accept it. You Christians, you're from the backwater somewhere. So it's coming. You give them a foot in the door, and they kick the door open. I made a lot of bold statements. Is that true? God's greatest hatred is reserved for the traitors among his people? Please turn to Exodus chapter 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 10. Israel's miraculously delivered. God parts the Red Sea. They make it out. Amazingly, they make it out. God in his mercy gets them out of there, right? All these miracles. But what happens? Moses needs to lead the people. They need a law to follow. Everybody needs a law to follow. We all follow laws, right? Moses is getting the law from God. But it's taken some time. What do the people do? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we won't know what has become of him. And Aaron said unto him, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which are in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. And have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord. Well, I'm getting fired up, but anyway. We'll see that Moses intercedes for the people. Doesn't God sound a little angry? Do people notice this part in the Bible? God said, look, these people are wicked. Get out of my way and let me destroy them. Now, God was also testing Moses to see if he would intercede for the people. It's like things I do with my, you know, my kids. Like, oh, should I leave the stove on? No, Daddy, that's not a good idea. I'm not really going to leave the stove on. I'm testing them. I want to see what they're doing, right? Hey, I'm going to leave the doors unlocked tonight. That's how you teach kids. Oh, Daddy, that's dangerous. All right, maybe we'll lock them then. You want them to think for themselves. You got to test them in that way. That's how you mold them into responsible adults. So God is molding his people, but God was serious. I mean, that was a thought in his heart, like, wow, look at these people, because they were traitors. God, it doesn't bother God. If a pagan is a pagan, that's one thing. When you're claiming to be God's people and you're acting like a pagan, that's another thing. So we don't, how am I going to condemn the world? God will condemn the world. We know what they're doing. We got a witness to them. Of course, they're not marrying and they're worshiping devils and they got this devil music and the whole industry and the clothes and whatever it is. That's just supposed to do. People in the world are supposed to steal. They're wicked. But in the church, embezzling in the church, scams in the church, this is a different thing. So God will destroy his fake people. He goes nuts over this. Drives him crazy. And then what do people say? I don't know why I'm under judgment. Must be the devil. The devil? You're living like an animal and you claim to be a Christian. Is that the devil? It's Jesus himself smacking you around, hoping you come back to him. God hates this. Hates it. Drives him crazy. The holy hypocrites that want to be his people. This isn't just in God's old covenant people. Look at the new covenant. Go all the way to the last book in the Bible. Everybody knows this church. They just don't pay attention to the lesson with this church. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. What gets God crazy? I just told you. Either you're in it or you're out. You're hot or you're cold. If you're hot or cold, there's hope for you. Don't play the middle. There is no neutrality. Here's a pretty well-known church in antiquity. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee. Spew, not a friendly term. This is God speaking, Jesus. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Vomit you out. Well, that's not seeker friendly. I will spew thee out of my mouth because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I am not telling you lies. God hates this stuff. You're in or you're out. Don't play the church game and you're a devil in disguise. Don't do it. Stay away from the church. Don't hurt the church. And you beg God to bring the right spirit back in you. And then you have fellowship again with him. You do the right thing when you're amongst God's people. You do the right thing when you carry the name Christian. We don't have to be crazy. But even without being crazy, we're going to be offensive. People, especially now, once they find out I'm a minister, I get those questions all the time. Oh, so how do you feel about, you know, gay marriage? Horrible. I don't care. You can't say that. Oh, yes, I can. Horrible. But then I qualified. I let them know. I also feel horrible about adultery, too. You know why? Because God feels horrible about it. I'm mimicking what my God tells me to say from the Word. You don't like it, that's your problem. Don't like it. Transgenderism, don't like it. Lesbianism, evil. All of it. Sadism, masochism, pedophilia, disgusting. All you could do is arrest me. And the truth is still the truth. You could tell me the color black is really white. And you could beat me and you can arrest me and you could kill me. And the color black is still black. It's not white like you're saying it is. You can arrest me and say a little girl is really a little boy, and you could give them hormone treatments and cut off stuff and make Frankenstein's monster. You still didn't change the sex of that person. A boy's still a boy, and a girl's still a girl. Can't change the DNA. It's like putting a costume on for Halloween. A boy can dress as a girl, he's still a boy. Am I supposed to give in to Caesar? You have churches being sued, shut down now, because they won't give in to transgenderism. Am I supposed to be a coward now? Should I get a nicer looking robe? Should we repaint the church? Should we get really nice seating and lighting? Bring more people in by selling out and saying nice things all the time that aren't true? Do you want to bring your children or your grandchildren here? And I don't do what I'm supposed to do? Say things that maybe you can't say? But when you bring them to church, they get to hear it? That's the pastor's job. Anyone you bring in here is supposed to be confronted with the reality of a holy God. God's people are called to condemn that which God declares evil, and uphold that which God declares good. All this talk about, well, separation of church and state, pastors can't speak against political people, we're not supposed to get involved in politics. Tell that to John the Baptist. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Let's read it for ourselves. Verses 34 to 38. What are we told about John the Baptist? Anybody know how John the Baptist died? Anybody remember? Huh? Yeah, he lost his head. Why? Because he was politically correct? Because he shut his mouth? Let's find out why. 20 years, God training him in the wilderness over 20 years. He lasted barely 6 months in his preaching career because he was faithful. Still want to be a pastor? And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now jump to Matthew chapter 14. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? So Matthew's right before Mark. Let's jump to Matthew 14. Christ sets the precedent. And then what are we told about John? At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." Herod was the man, the most powerful man in Jerusalem at the time. This was the man. And he took his brother's wife. Things that even pagans are ashamed to do. So what did John the Baptist do? Was he a good preacher? Was he a preacher of 2018? Did he shut his mouth? Did he not speak against the government? Did he condone this adultery? No. He would see the king with his wife. And he'd tell him, "You're living in sin." He'd tell the man. Not like today. Right? Bush Jr., everybody fell all over him. Oh, the next Messiah. The guy launched major wars. All of our debt are from our foreign wars. Over $10 trillion. But he was a Christian. And all the evangelicals voted for him. Brought hell on earth. Hell on earth. Continued his father's policies. Destroyed the Middle East. George Bush, the son. Then we get Obama, promised everybody in the church, "No, I stand against same-sex marriage." Lied to everybody. You have the National Conference of Black Conservative Black Pastors, has a dinner with them. "No, don't worry. I know what the community is going through. I'm going to be moral. I'm not going to support same-sex marriage." Sold out on everybody. I'm supposed to be quiet? I wasn't quiet during Bush's years. Those of you who were here, when the whole church was worshiping him, you know what I said? He's son of a Bush. So he will act like a Bush. I said it. I warned you about Obama. I'm warning about Trump. The evangelicals, the Trump train, is going to save everybody. He's going to end abortion. He's going to do this. He's great for Israel, not too good for America right now. He signed the bill anyway, that omnibus bill, funded Planned Parenthood. "Well, I had to do it because I had to fund the military." You're a liar. You said you wouldn't do it, and you signed the bill. I don't care if you're white, black, from the South, from the North. He's from Queens. I could care less. We have his buildings a couple miles away. "I will not kiss the feet of Caesar. I will kiss the feet of Jesus Christ. And when Caesar is wrong, I will tell him that." And that's your job as Christians. And that's what John the Baptist did. He didn't lose his head because he was nice, because he was seeker-friendly. He tried to save Herod. "You're with your brother's wife. No one else is telling you it's wrong because you have power and money and you're the king. I'm telling you it's disgusting. Divorce her."
They didn't sell out either.
Amen.
Beheaded.
Amen.
Crucified.
Amen. Amen. But all of a sudden we're so friendly today. Everybody's great. And whoever comes after Trump, they're going to be the new savior. And same thing in government. Separation of church and state. But every liberal, godless politician wants to visit churches before Election Day and speak at churches. I thought we separated church and state. So we coexist with a sinful generation by expounding the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere. Now I'm going to show you how bad this is getting. Christians need to learn about the issues that we stand for. They need to learn about politics. Names change. Parties change. God's principles don't. The word gay at one time, people even have the last name, right? We had a famous singer, Marvin Gaye, English surname, Gaylord, right? We have these names. It was something good. Gay meant happy, jovial, of a good spirit, of a good character. Now it means sodomy. So words change. Just like if I came in to say, you know, I'm going to confess to everybody, I was gay this week. It wouldn't even turn a head in the old English. Now you're like, whoa, my pastor was gay this week. Words change. Words change. Parties change. Liberal used to mean a good thing as far as free speech. Liberals being liberal meant, even if I was the minority, I get to say and state my opinion, even if you don't like it. I don't get my way all the time, but at least let me not be a robot and say what I feel. Now liberals are the ones calling for centralized government and censorship. Conservative used to mean a good thing. We were trying to conserve something. Now conservatives conserve nothing. So a lot of times when I'm speaking, people think I told a line. You know, oh, conservative Christians, we're supposed to be Republican in nature and vote Republican. I have less respect for the Republican Party than I do the Democratic Party. Why? Because at least the Democrats, they're honest. We're crazy. We're communists. We're out of our mind. We want to upend the whole society. We want to tax you to death. I can respect that. The Republicans are worse because they get the evangelical vote and they're snakes. They are worse than the Democratic Party. It's worse. Tell me what you are. I respect that more. Don't give me God, 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 and then you're a liberal anyway. So terms have changed. So don't get caught up in this thing of, because now this progressive, conservative, they're using these terms in the church. I told you it was coming. And that's why I gave it to you on the outline. I am not a progressive Christian. I am not a conservative Christian. I'm a biblical Christian. I'm a biblicist. I believe the Bible. I'm a Bible believer. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. Do we get that? But then why does everybody feel like they need to jump on a side of an issue? It's crazy. Conservative government used to mean less spending. Everybody wants to spend now. Wants to spend us into the grave. So terms change. So this is the type of church we're getting now. How about this bumper sticker? This is a religious organization. They're for reproductive rights. And their slogan is pro-family, pro-faith and pro-choice. Like, how is that? Even if you grant people the right to abortion when a woman's life is in trouble, fine. That's less than 0.02% of all abortions. So instead of having 60 million dead children, if we had to abort the child to save the mother, the number would be in the thousands instead of the millions. It doesn't happen that often. Even if we granted you that premise. They have a bumper sticker. Isn't this lovely? Isn't this a great Christian witness? Had an abortion? Yes, God loves you. Now, does this mean you could have had an abortion or two or three, and now you come to Christ and you're not forgiven, and God loves you? Yes, that's possible. God will forgive you if you repent. How disgusting is this? Like it's okay. We're talking about abortion as birth control. As birth control. like taking a pill or using something else. They don't even bother to take precautions. They just get pregnant and kill the child. And it's big business. These are churches that organize for this trash. This is the way we're going. These are cowards. They want to be on the side of the state. And they're going to turn around just like always happens. And the true Christians are going to say, see that Christianity? That's hateful. We don't judge you. We're the real Christians. We stand for nothing. That's always the way it is. Progressive Christians, friends and community, worship and service, study and prayer, meditation, contemplation, keeping faith, dropping dogma. Dogma is a teaching. If you have a worship service based on a teaching, and you're studying based on a teaching, how do you drop all teachings? Just like people say, no creed but Christ. No creed but Christ. Christ is a creed. Creo, creer, creo, to believe. You believe something. That's all we're saying. We have creeds to explain what we believe. What do you mean, no creed but Christ? What is that? Christ was a person. He instructed you on what you are to believe. LGBTQ affirming. Progressive Christians. They're like progressive Democrats now. You see what they're doing? The labeling, separating us. I am not a conservative Republican. I am against all war except for self-defense. I am against all funding and smashing of other countries. I am against a huge military budget. And I'm also against progressive Democrats when it comes to teaching perversion or wanting to kill people. Science friendly. This is a funny one. If a girl wants to be a boy, she can take hormone therapy and magically become a boy. Or she could be transgender, just change her clothing, and through magic, goes from a boy to a girl. So how do these people list being science friendly and transgender friendly in their doctrine? I'm science friendly. A girl's a girl, a boy's a boy. I'm science friendly. Exploring, Lord knows what that means. Justice seeking, no you're not. Peacekeeping, no you're not. Love other religions. And this is what we're all being led into. Is when all religions are equal, then no religion is true. And that's the devil's trick. The devil doesn't care if you're a Christian. He just wants you to support all the lies also. This is how governments work. Governments don't care. They want money and power. You could be a Jew, you could be a Muslim, whatever's convenient for them. If Christians became violent and crazy and we grew in numbers and we called the shots, they'd all be faithful Christians tomorrow, our government. This is the way it worked. That's why people get confused. Oh, America was a Christian nation. Now we're not a Christian nation. No, governments are whores. They will support whoever's going to keep them in power. They don't care. So now not believing is chic. So they don't believe. They don't even teach it. Now I want you to see the last thing in your outline. Do you see this multi-faith calendar? I gave you a picture of it. Do you notice all the symbolism on this multi-faith calendar? Do you know who produces this calendar and gives it out every year? The World Council of Churches. So this is right out of Revelation. This is always their plan. They want a one-world government. They want a one-world economic system. And they want a one-world religion. But they always fall on their face. And I'm telling you, don't sell out on Jesus. Because even when it looks like they're winning, they wind up losing. Be in that smaller group that stayed faithful to Christ. If you think this garbage is going to take down the Son of God, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. So the sides have been drawn. It's not progressive versus conservative. It's Bible-believing Christian who stands on God's word and on his commands versus the progressive and the conservative. Conservatism doesn't work. What was conservative? 50 years ago was no longer conservative. TV shows in the 50s, the man and the woman couldn't sit on the same bed. It was too perverted. They could not sit together on the bed. How things have changed. A bathing suit? You were scandalous if you had a bathing suit that went down to your ankles and came up to your neck. Just because that's what people's underwear used to look like. Big, long underwear before we had all these conveniences. So just having a bathing suit like that, because you only had one layer of clothes on, you were a whore or a whoremonger. Now look at what they wear. It's like walnut shells with a rubber band on it. And people go on vacations and stand around each other with this stuff on. I stop going, I can't go to pool functions and stuff because I don't normally want to see my cousins and aunts and whoever in their underwear. So I'm not going to see them in their underwear. But there's a pool of water there, so that's okay. I don't want to see your stuff. I'd rather swim alone with my family. We're all dressed properly. Okay? So what was conservative once is no longer conservative. That's all conservatives do. They give up a little bit of ground every year. And all they say is, oh, we're a little bit better than them. What do Republicans say? Oh, we're still a little bit better than the Democrats. No, you're not. Democrats are honest. I know what I'm getting when I vote for them. You are a snake. You want the evangelical vote. And then as soon as you get the vote, you sell out Christ. You could have a Republican government, governor, president, House of Representatives, the Senate. We still have abortion. We still have homo marriage. We still have perverted. It doesn't change. And you have churches telling people, just vote Republican all the way down the ticket. Why? Why? So we are Bible-believing Christians against progressives, conservatives, all that stuff. Stand on Christ's word. Be against abortion, killing children, and be against all these wars killing other people's children. Be against stealing on the local level. Be against the government stealing also. You think I'd support anybody? You want to start a revolution tomorrow? What if they can no longer take your federal income tax from your check, but you had to voluntarily give it in and pay them at the end of the year? Never. You'd have a revolution in a week. Nobody would give that money back. But because it's electronically taken from your check and you never see it, you deal with it. They're crooks. I vote for Christ. I don't need to vote for a crook. And stop with the lesser of the two evils stuff. You see where that's gotten us. Let's demand candidates that are balanced. Let's demand people that stand up for Christ in the church and outside the church. If you are a Christian politician and you are a coward, you are failing Christ. You're failing Christ. Who passed the Defense of Marriage Act to officially define that marriage is only between a man and a woman? What political party passed that? The Democrats? Bill Clinton? Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. People forget it already. I remember we were celebrating. Great victory for the church. Republicans wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Clinton signed it into law. And then he went back on it after, but still, he signed it. Democratic Party. Who was tough on criminals? Democrats were. Who was tough on immigration? Who gave the toughest immigration speech that would make President Trump blush? President Clinton. Go to his first term. They have the audio. It's on YouTube. It's on the internet. Listen to it. So they flip-flop. So don't get tricked into this. And I'm saying this because we have elections that are coming up. Everyone's going to be tricked again. Stand on Christ. Don't be a coward. The church of the holy coward will be smashed. Jesus has done it before, and he'll do it again. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that we can stand on your word. We don't need to be tricked every day, every week, every month, every year by something new from the media or politicians or even worse, the church, or from a pastor who's sold out or a denomination that's sold out. We thank you, Lord, that you're plain, your commands are so plain. And we can unite as Christians behind the Bible and stop with these labels that we like to give each other. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. We pray, Lord, that we would learn how to coexist, which is by bringing the gospel to everybody and everything, every living creature under heaven, and that we would apply it in our lives, declaring what's evil, evil, and declaring that which you call good, good, and not compromising. Please help us, Lord, and protect us. We know, Lord, it's not easy. We do have real Christian persecution in this country. We know that, Lord. We're not being killed yet, but they're taking our jobs. They're ruining our careers. They're hurting the way we can support our families. We pray, Lord, that Christians would stand up for other Christians first instead of everyone else, like you taught us. He who doesn't take care of his own household is worse than an unbeliever. Please, Lord, let Christians stand up for Christians, not just Jews and Muslims and atheists and homosexuals and pedophiles and immigrants and Republicans and Democrats. Could Christians stand up for Christians, Lord? We pray for that spirit to come back where we supported one another with our money and our time. We pray, dear God, you continue to protect us until we meet again as your people next week. Amen.